This is Bishop Horace Michael, pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church, and we greet you tonight in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ on this day, Tuesday, December 15th, in the year 2020, for this our weekly Pastoral Connect prayer and Bible study. It is my esteemed privilege and pleasure to be able to share with you the Word of God, to be able to encourage you, to build up your faith, and to give you instruction in righteousness as you grow and mature as a child of God. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And I want to thank and praise God for all of you that have joined us tonight to be a part of this interactive session of teaching and praying in Jesus' mighty name. As we begin to get our lesson started, let us look to the Lord at this moment for a brief moment of prayer. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in all of our ways we acknowledge you and we thank you that you shall direct our path. Our confidence is in you, Lord. Our hope is in you. Our trust is in you, the God of our salvation. And even tonight, as we assemble ourselves at this sacred moment, we come with the spirit of expectation. We come tonight to hear what you have to say to us out of your eternal word. Your word is already settled, Lord, and I thank you right now. Your word is spirit and it is truth. Your word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrows. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway. Your word is like fire shut up in our bones. And even tonight, Lord, we open our hearts to you and we open our souls to hear from you. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, even as the scriptures are read. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, even as the exposition is shared. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, even in the prayer tonight. And we will not forget to give you glory, honor, and praise. And even now, we thank you in advance for every man, woman, boy, and girl that will be with us tonight, listening, participating, and even those that will listen to this recording hereafter. To God be the glory. Anoint us and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you tonight. We thank and praise the Lord for you being with us in the name of the Lord. I have begun to share my screen, and I'm just going to ask if someone would let me know if you're able to see it clearly. You should be seeing the list of scriptures that begin with item number 16. Okay, thank you very much. I believe I'm getting some yeses in the chat. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you very much. Tonight we will bring this series to a close. As we have shared with you throughout this entire year concerning victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this will actually be the next to the last lesson. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself in terms of where we are in the month. It's the 15th, and we actually have one more lesson on the 22nd. And then after that, we will go on a holiday break that'll extend through to Sunday the 3rd. We will have worship. We'll have a pre-Christmas holiday service, which I plan to share with you some details later after the lesson is over. On the 23rd, we'll have a pre-Christmas service and then watch night service, of course, on Thursday the 31st. But I'll give you more details about this afterwards. And so tonight, this is the next to the last lesson. So let's get right into it. in the name of the Lord. I'm thankful. I see volunteers sharing that they will take on certain scriptures. As you know, I'm asking you to read these verses out loud. It is so important that as you build your faith, that you open your mouth to speak what the Word of God has to say. The Word of God will never have the same impact on you like it will when you read it out of your mouth. It's great to hear the Word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we understand the importance of hearing it. But the power is in you speaking it. Because when you speak the word, the Bible says you shall have whatsoever you say. Hearing the word of God is the foundation for faith. Faith comes by hearing. But you've got to do something with what you hear. Glory to God. You've got to do something with it. You've got to open your mouth and say something. Hallelujah. And I think that if you start to take your notes right now, I think that that's something good to put in your notes. Open your mouth and say something as it relates to God's word. Let's get right into it. Brother Paul is our first reader tonight. And again, we are continuing on the theme, All I See is Victory. These are victory verses. Praise the name of God. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. These are victory verses. And this, the foundation of this entire year's Bible study was coming from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, that spoke of Jehoshaphat's victory, the victory that God gave Jehoshaphat. And so that's from a historical point of view. And then 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, where the Apostle John speaks to the believers. It says, so whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so the foundation verses that took us through this year, and it's amazing. Look at where we are. We are a stone's throw away from the end of this year, and the Lord has been ministering to us from this theme all year long. All I see is victory. And I do think that is quite profound, because when we started the year, this was the theme that God gave us, but we all have seen how this year has unfolded. This year has unfolded with such pain, with such heartache, and that pain and heartache, it's still being experienced. But look at what the Lord did for us. He was so gracious to see ahead of time and to give us a focus so that despite what we experienced, we had a confession that was tied to Him. All I see is victory. This is not to negate the reality of what we are going through. This is not to act as if we don't see and know and even feel what's going on in our world. We are at the point now where there's over 300,000 people who have died associated with COVID-19, and over a million plus have been affected by it. My God, my God, my God. But God gave this to us to hold on to focus on, to carry us through His word of victory. So let us go on as the journey continues, and declaring that even this is just the beginning. Let's go through our victory verses. Brother Paul, would you please share 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, in Jesus' name.
There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it.
Amen. What is important is that you understand that what you're going through, you are not alone in it. This is an experience that is common, a fancy word is ubiquitous. In other words, it's all over the place. There's people that are going through this. There's no place where this issue is not present, whether it's an experience or a thing, phraseology, terminology. It speaks of it being general and widespread. Glory to God. And so this temptation, no temptation that you can have, no temptation that you can face, no temptation is that you face is something that you're in it by yourself. It's common to everybody. In other words, somebody else has gone through it. You're not in it by yourself. And I think that's another powerful point to make a note of, that I am not in this by myself, from the aspect of experience and from the aspect of support. Because after it talks about the universality of it in the first clause, it goes to where the power is in the second clause. Do you see that? There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. That's the first clause, the universality of temptation. And then comes the but. I love this word of interjection. I love this word that shifts the focus from what was said before to what is being said hereafter. And the two words that's so powerful, and if you have a highlighter, and you, if you have your whatever you have in terms of your Bible, because I hope you all have your Bibles tonight. I didn't do a Bible check, but I hope you have your Bibles tonight. The next two words is the power words right there. The power words, but God. I've seen people use those two words in so many cases as it relates to what they're going through, whether it was in a testimony. I've seen it on graduation caps. I've seen it on Facebook posts. I've seen it in places where it talks about the fact that a person couldn't have made it without the fact of God. And to us, God is not just the fact. God is the truth. God is the light. And the scripture says, but God. And then so it the next part is just the icing on the cake, is faithful. God is faithful. This was the aspect and the quality and the virtue of God that kept Jeremiah in the midst of what he was facing. And so Paul says, God is faithful. He's not going to allow you to be tempted above what you can handle. And so this is something that's important, because sometimes we feel that we can't handle this. This is something we can't handle. Now, the aspect of handling it is not from the standpoint of being able to defeat it, but to endure it. Oh, God. He won't let nothing come on you that you cannot endure. He will be there to operate through your faith to defeat it, because the victory comes from the Lord. Now, thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory. Praise the name of God. And that's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe around 58, 57 and 58. Praise the name of God. You can make a note of that. But I want you to understand, the faithfulness of God is your security. It is the faithfulness of God that succors you. It saves you. It puts you in a safe place. And so not only does he present himself in faithfulness, but he makes a way of escape. And I love the fact that his faithfulness is my safety net. My God. My God. Now unto him. And the immediately in my spirit, I see Jude. Jude comes to mind. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Praise the name of God. He's able to secure you so that you can bear it. You can bear this. You can bear it. It is not unbearable. And we have to begin to understand that our victory is connected with what we say. Thank you, Brother Paul. We're going to move on to John chapter 16, verse 33. And when it is your turn to read the verse, please unmute yourself and then you'll be ready to read. Sister Michelle, bless you, dear.
These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Thank you so much, Sister Bride. You have to understand, my brothers and sisters, that there's a thing called life that's going to happen to all of us. And none of us are exempt from it. No matter how much we pray, no matter how much we fast, no matter how much we speak in tongues, you can't get away from life. The Lord speaks to his people because he knows what's coming our way. He knows what we're going to face. Job was encouraged by this. Job declared, but he knoweth the way that I take. Lord have mercy. I feel the Holy Spirit breathing on somebody right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He knoweth the way that I take. Sometimes you feel like nobody understands. Nobody can relate. Nobody can identify. Job said, yeah, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. That's out of Job 23, verse 10. But back in the Gospel of John here, chapter 16, Jesus gives his disciples insight. And I think this is powerful. I want you to make a note of this. He gives us insight. He gives us insight. These things I have spoken unto you. Now, the Bible says concerning Jesus' words, my sheep hear my voice, and the stranger they will not follow. It is important to make sure that your ears are attuned to the voice of the Lord, because the Lord is speaking, and he's speaking even right now. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Understand this. He does not want us to find peace in things, the security in things, a job, a home, food on the table, physical agility, health, you know, education, intellect. He doesn't want us to find peace in these. And these are some of the areas that a lot of people find or think they will have peace in. If I can only get married, if I can only find the right spouse, if I can only get out of this neighborhood, if I can only get into my own place. And so many people build their hopes on temporary things. He said, I want you to put your peace. I want you to have peace in me. I've said what I've said to you so that you will have, so that in me, you'll have peace. This is an issue of focus. Victory is connected with your focus. You need to write that down. Jesus says, in the world, not just the world in terms of terra firma, like the physicality of the world, but in the philosophy of the world, the ideology of the world, the temperament and the disposition and the attitude of the world. He said that's going to be filled with tribulation, aka drama. It's going to be filled with drama. He said, if you focus on the things of the world, drama is going to be your lot. But cheer, good cheer, will come to those who've put their trust in me. Because while the world will present opposition and the world will present ungodliness, see, the world has an answer for everything, but the answer is not from God. Lord, have mercy. The world has an answer. The world has an answer for, the enemy is very smart. And the devil will give an answer to everything. Oh, yeah. He tried. He did it with Eve. he spoke to Eve. Eve entertained the worst conversation she could have ever entertained in her life when she listened to the serpent. And when you listen to the things of the devil, that'll be the worst conversation you'll ever have in your life. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. He gives us a reason. See, your victory is not based upon emotion. It's based upon good reason. Huh. So many times people would want you to think or act towards you as if you're not using reasoning skills when it comes down to faith. The devil is a liar. I'm using my good sense. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. I'm using my good mind when I put my trust in Jesus, because he has overcome the world. We're going to go on to Ephesians right now. I just feel the power of God on this line, and somebody is getting something even right now. Sister Elliot is going to share with us. Sister Shirley is going to read to us from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Sister Elliot.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
I think that one of the thank you, Sister Shirley. Thank you very much. One of the things that we often do is sometimes we leave our weapons behind. We go out, we go this place, we go that place, and sometimes it's not about necessarily going, but we allow our minds to go in one direction, our thoughts go in one direction, our feelings go in another direction. And Paul says, take the armor with you. It's just like that commercial. Some of you may remember the commercial that speaks about the American Express card. Don't leave home without it. Well, when Sister Elliot shared that scripture and started to read it, one of the key words that jumped out in my spirit was take. Take. And I think that something that's very powerful about this is that the devil is always trying to do just that. He's trying to take from you. He's trying to take from you. And the Lord, in his great wisdom, is empowering you to take. But it's not about the flesh. It's about the spirit. Take unto you the whole armor of God. Take. This is for your spirit. Oh, my God. This is for your spirit. Take the whole armor. Take the whole armor. And it's not just the idea of possession. And it's about application. So to take unto you is not just to have possession of it. It's application of it. To take unto you. Hey, glory. To possess and to apply. To possess and to apply. Take unto you. Ha, Taya. Woo! Take unto you the whole armor of God. Take it, possess it, and apply it in totality. Possess it and apply it in totality. Some of you may know the fable of Achilles. Achilles was one of the Greek gods and was the strongest of them all. And his strength was derived from having been dipped into some special water that gave him incredible strength. The only problem was that Achilles was dipped in this water and held by one of his heels. And so the story goes that in battle, a stray arrow, an arrow that was just shot by the enemy, somehow found its mark by hitting Achilles in the heel And that was his vulnerable spot. And consequently, he died. And so the idea is that when a person speaks of an Achilles heel, it talks about a place where they're vulnerable, a place where they are exposed. But look at the wisdom of God's word. It says to take all of it so that there is no exposure. Exposure is a term that's often used in finance that talks about an area of risk. And so depending on the amount of exposure a person has, that talks about their appetite for risk. And so this idea of exposure, talking about vulnerability, this idea of exposure, talking about risk. When you take the armor of God, the whole armor of God, you protect yourself from exposure. You protect yourself from exposure. And so the question that I ask you right now is, are you exposed? Are you exposed? Are you exposed? Is there some area in your life where you are exposed? Because where you are exposed is your weak spot. And the enemy is always going to come for your weak spot. Oh, God. But if you possess, if you apply in totality the supernatural armor that God provides us, you will be able to stand under the pressure. I like the fact that Paul identifies the circumstances under which we will be able to stand in the evil day, in the time, in the evil time. And God knows if there was ever an evil time, we are in that evil time right now. But God is saying, and this is a testament to the focus that he has given us for this year, all I see is victory. We have been able to withstand. And so this idea of withstanding is not just the standing, it is resisting. Because in a fight, it's not just about can you stand, it's can you resist. When it comes down to this battle, it's not just about whether or not you can stand up, but can you resist? And Paul is saying, when you possess, apply, and use the totality of what God offers, not only will you be able to stand, but you'll be able to withstand or to resist. And having done all, what I'm grateful to God about is that how he equips us is for everything that will come against us. God has equipped us for everything that will come against us. God has equipped us for everything that will come against us. God has equipped us with everything that will come against us. And I need you to say that out of your mouth. You don't have to come off mute, but I want you to say that out of your mouth, because even right now, as you say this, God has equipped us with everything that will come against us. God has equipped us with everything, for everything that will come against us. He has equipped us so that whatever comes our way, we can withstand. And having done all to stand, it's not going to be easy. Christianity is not about ease. It's about commitment and covenant. It's about relationship, not religion, not regimen. It's about relationship. And relationships are built with time. The foundation of our confidence is in the track record of God, so that I'm not wasting time trying to figure out if this is a good fit. Oh, God have mercy. My faith brings me to God, and I'm not trying him out. I will try him through my experiences. And when I say try him, it's getting to know him, because I need to get to know God. When I first got the Holy Ghost, I knew about God. There may have been one or two things I knew about God. But as I began to walk with him, I got to know him better. This is a relationship that gets better every day. I've got friends out of Florida, some of our bishops and some of the saints out in Florida. When I greet them in the convocations and I meet them in the national meetings and whatnot, I'll say, praise the Lord. I'll ask them how they're doing. And they've got a catchphrase just like I do. You know, I'm not hating on that. If you ask me how I'm doing, I'm going to tell you the Lord is my strength. Well, when I ask some of the saints from Florida how they're doing, they'll say their response will be this: getting better all the time. Getting better all the time. And they will smile with it. They'll say it with ease and grace. And my God, I'm going to put some Florida on you right now. Because as you grow in relationship with God, as you get to know him in your daily walk, your testimony will be just like some of these Floridian saints, getting better all the time. Can you say that out of your mouth? Getting better all the time, getting better all the time, getting better all the time. When I walk with the Lord, it's not just when I'm going through problems. I've gotten over the relationship type that I only call God when I need God. God is not a call boy. He's a prayer answering God, but he's not a call boy. He's not sitting there waiting for us to come crying to him about issues. As a matter of fact, those of you that were with us on Sunday, you heard the word that God gave us concerning the situation that the people of Israel found themselves when they came out of Egypt. They were on their way to the promised land. They were on their way to the place that God had ordained and promised their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God had released them from Egyptian bondage. They were on their way. And then they met up with the Red Sea. And you know the Red Sea situation. The Bible says that the people murmured against Moses and said, you know, this is what we told you. You should have left us alone. At least in the Egypt, we would have food. We wouldn't be out here in the wilderness, and we wouldn't be at the threat of death. And of course, they were at the threat of death all the time with Pharaoh and those Egyptian taskmasters. They were there for 400 years. Can you imagine how many of them had died under the whip and under the hand of Pharaoh? But their fear caused them to talk crazy talk. And they said it would be better for us to be back in Egypt. Can you imagine being at such a point where you would feel that you would be better off? You would be better off back in bondage than to be free. The devil is a liar. I just saw an update, and I actually mistaken. I didn't give this verse to someone. So y'all pray for me. God bless you. But the idea here, the message from Sunday was Moses cried to the Lord, and the Lord said to Moses, "Why'd you cry? Why are you crying to me? Use what I gave you. I put something in your hand." This was the representation of my presence, my purpose, and my power unto you. Lord, have mercy. My presence, my purpose, and my power unto you. When you take the word of God and you put that word in your spirit, which is the sword of the spirit, the devil can't do nothing with you. Even if you face a Red Sea, because all of us on this line, everybody has a Red Sea to face. You have a Red Sea. You're going to have a Red Sea. If you haven't gotten there yet, you're going to get there soon. You're going to have a Red Sea. And what is important for you to understand is that God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Sunday's message was Waymaker for those that weren't with us. And I want to encourage you that the Waymaker is here right now to enable you to stand. Thank you so much, Sister Elliot. It looks like Sister Elliot is eager to do reading tonight. Amen. Bless your heart, dear. Let's give us 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18.
For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit.
What's very important to understand is that there is some suffering connected with my walk with Jesus. This text speaks of what he gave up so that he would have something to give us. What he gave up so that he would have something to give us. Christ had suffered for sin, the just for the unjust. What he did was for us so that he would have something to give us. And what is that? That he would be able to bring us to God. We have access, hallelujah, to God through Jesus Christ. Sin hinders the approach. In the Old Testament, the high priest had to come with blood as a sacrifice to enter into the Holy of Holies, because the Holy of Holies was the place where the presence of God dwelt. His presence, the presence of God dwelt there. God's present, God's manifested presence was so powerful that it lit up that space. The Holy of Holies was a part of the tabernacle tent structure. The tabernacle was 15 feet tall. Praise the name of God. And it was 45 feet long. It was 15 feet wide. So the width was 15 feet. The height was 15 feet. And the full length was 45 feet. The holy place, which was the first compartment in the tent, was 30 feet long. And that meant that the Holy of Holies was a perfect cube. It was 15 feet high, 15 feet wide, 15 feet deep. Inside the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant that had Aaron's rod that budded. It had manna, a portion of the manna, which was the bread. Whew, the bread that God sent down from heaven to feed the people. And it had the tables of the covenant. The rod that budded spoke of life. The bread from heaven spoke of life. And the tables of commandment spoke of life. And that life was only accessible through a blood sacrifice. You could not get there without blood. Oh, my God. Today, blood was shed for you to get into the presence of God. And that blood that was shed was the blood of Jesus. And so Christ's sufferings gave you access to God. The Bible says in this verse, being put to death in the flesh, he was crucified. He was crucified on that tree. They nailed him to the cross. They nailed his hands. They nailed his feet. They had a crown of thorns that they braided together. They braided thorns together to make a crown, and they pressed it down upon his head. And even at the point, because when Jesus was crucified and two malefactors were crucified with him. It was coming up on the Sabbath and the Passover. And because of this, they could not let these bodies stay on the tree. Crucifixion was a long, excruciatingly painful means of execution. People could last for days on being crucified. And because they could not let their bodies stay up there that long, they went to the malefactor on the left, broke his knees. He could not support his upper body so that his lungs would get air. And when his legs gave way, his lungs collapsed, he died. They went to the next malefactor on the other side of Jesus. They broke his knees as well, broke his legs so he couldn't keep his upper body up, and he died. And it sped up the death process. When they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. But because they had to make sure, and because of what the word prophesied said, that not a bone of his body would be broken, the Bible tells us that the soldier took his spear and plunged it up into his rib cage, into the vital organ area. And when he pulled the spear out, blood and water came out of his body. And so Jesus died on that cross. If that was not enough, the embalming process that was the custom of that day was such that they would take embalming fluid and materials, and they would basically stuff up his nose and all of his openings. They would just put that all on him and seal him up with that. Then they would wrap him up with materials like a mummy. And you may remember when it's called grave clothes. It's the same kind of process that they did with Lazarus. And you remember when Jesus called Lazarus, he came forth out of the tomb. The Bible says he still had the grave clothes on. Hey, glory to God. Well, they wrapped Jesus up in grave clothes too. But the Bible tells us that after they did that, they put a stone, they wrapped him up, put a stone at the mouth of the tomb, set guards on it, and they would not let anybody come near that tomb. Anybody came near that tomb would suffer death. Nobody came near that tomb. But you know how the Bible tells us that the story goes. Glory to God. The testimony of the resurrection is that 3 days later, the Bible says there was a great earthquake and an angel rolled the stone away. And Jesus came out of the tomb live and in living color. And there was no grave that can keep him down. He was resurrected by the power of the Spirit. And so this verse, when it says quickened, that word quickened means to be made alive. And every now and then, the Holy Spirit will cause you to quicken. Hallelujah. And that's a shaking feeling that you have. Praise the name of God. Just to let you know that the Holy Spirit is on the inside and that you are alive in God. And the Bible says, if that Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you, it will also quicken, hallelujah, your mortal body. It will bring it to life. Those that are dead in Christ, when the trump of God is sound, that Holy Spirit will quicken them and they will come alive. And those of us that are alive and remain, the Bible says we will be changed in a moment and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Talk about victory. There is no greater victory than the victory of the resurrection. And so, beloved, despite the fact that Jesus suffered, he paid the price to give us life and to bring us into God's presence. And the good news is you're in his presence right now. You're in the presence of the Lord right now. And he is your keeper. He is your comforter. And there is no sin that can hold you from the power and the mercy of God. Sister Carla, please read the next verse, because that's where it talks about our issues. The verse that we just read from 1 Peter 3:18 talked about sins, and it wasn't his sins. But verse 9, chapter 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 talks about this sin issue. Come on, Sister Carla.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
You have to understand the grip of sin. Sin has a grip. Sin has a grip. People's lives have been ruined by the grip of sin. Families have been destroyed because of the grip of sin. Marriages have been decimated because of the grip of sin. Sickness has proliferated in so many cases because of the grip of sin. Mental disease has been magnified because any malady that we experience can become intensified when the enemy grips us with sin. The spirit of fear, the spirit of error, the spirit of perversion, a deaf and dumb spirit. These spirits come in and they will grip. But if we confess our sins, you begin to loosen the grip when you confess it. When a person is operating in life and they're walking with sins that are not confessed, there's a burden on them. They can act as free as they want to act, but there is a burden of sin. It will affect their disposition. It will affect their attitude. And even if they're acting like they're on top of the world, the truth of the matter is the grip of sin has got them. But the text that Sister Carla just read, thank you for reading that, Sister Carla. It says, we loose the grip of sin through confession. Because when we confess our sins, we take ourselves out of the hand of sin and put ourselves into the hand of God. How do I get myself in the hand of God? If you're in sin, confess it. Confess it to Him. And when you're in His hand, the scripture says nothing shall be able to pluck us out of it. Not only are we forgiven, but we're safe and cleansed, not from some unrighteousness, but from all unrighteousness. Do you understand the power of your confession? Don't hide in sin. Don't cover up sin, because those responses only give sin more power. But when you confess your sin and you put yourself in the hand of God through your confession, not only will you receive forgiveness, but you will receive safety and being cleansed from all unrighteousness. Sin has a grip and it leaves a stain. In other words, there's consequences. And sometimes people will try to cover up the consequences and make the consequences seem like what it's not. The truth of the matter is sin is sin. Sin is sin is sin is sin. If you know to do something, the right thing, and you don't do that thing to you, the scripture says that's sin. So it's not about a list of things that may be contained in the Ten Commandments. It's about the whole counsel of God. We are responsible for His word. And somebody may say, oh my God, how in the world could I possibly do that? I don't know all this scripture. Well, put yourself in the hands of God and let God take care of the rest. The practical aspect of victory is dealing with sin in our lives. If there is sin, you've got to confess it. And what's important about this text before we move on to Sister Thompson is that this text in 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 9, it's not written to the sinner. It's written to the saint. And so this is saying that there's a time in a saint's life when they have to confess that they have done wrong. They have entertained an idea. They've entertained conversation. They've allowed those conversations to taint their feelings and govern their responses. They have decided to do things. They have acted in a way that is untoward God and ungodly. And so we must confess. Confession is connected to victory. Confession is connected to freedom. Confession is connected to the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. If you confess, he is faithful and just to forgive. God is not going to condemn you for what you have confessed. Confession is the alternative to condemnation. Confession is the alternative to condemnation. And you don't have to be condemned if you confess. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Sister Thompson, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, please.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Thank you so much. Let's understand that the Lord wants us to confess sin. He doesn't want us to be condemned with the world. He wants us to be free. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And it is the truth that will make us free. And so the Lord is not derelict concerning his promise. He doesn't make a promise and then pull it back. He doesn't make a promise and then doesn't live up to it. He's not derelict with his promise. He's not slack concerning his promises. He's not going to play with us. He's not playing games. He's not playing games. When it comes down to my forgiveness, oh God, when it comes down to my forgiveness, the Lord is not playing around with this. He's not going to be slow. He's not going to be procrastinating. He's not going to be playing no games, but he is waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting for you to come to him. He's long-suffering. He's waiting. And the reason he's waiting is because he's not willing for us to perish. He's giving sinners more time to get it right. He's giving you, he's even giving his church time to get it right. Because you're not called to condemnation, you were called to peace. You are not called to destruction. Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5, it tells us he's redeemed our lives from destruction. That's one of the benefits. He did not make me to destroy me. He made me to bless me. Aren't you glad that he's given you time to get things together? He's given us time to get it together. Psalms 3, verse 8. Psalms 3, verse 8. Sister McCollum.
Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people.
What you have to understand, and then the last word there is Selah. It's a pause. You're not going to be free through anything else you do but coming to the Lord. Your freedom is connected to God. your, and that word salvation means deliverance. Soteriology is the study of the doctrines of salvation. And that word sotar in the Greek is connected with deliverance. Salvation is not about a feeling. It's not about making you happy. It's about making you free. God have mercy. So many people equate the church with a playground, with a like a carnival or an amusement park. Salvation is not about making you happy. Of course, when you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart, and we have a reason to be happy. But it's not about making you happy. It's about making you free, freeing you from sin. Salvation was necessary because we were sinners. Salvation wasn't necessary because we were sad. Oh, God, help me in this place. Salvation was not given because we were sad. Salvation was given because we were sinners. And because deliverance belongs to the Lord, he did not only deliver one time. He keeps on delivering. Giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul wrote to the saints at Colossae and reminded them that they have a deliverer. Not only has he delivered, but he will deliver, and he will yet deliver. Oh God, he is our deliverer. He delivers us from all evil. He delivers. He has delivered us from ourselves. He is delivering us from the grip of sin even now, and the effects of sin. And he will yet deliver us. He will deliver us. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. It talks about the fact that the Lord delivered us, that he doth deliver us, or he does deliver us, and he will yet deliver us. That again is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. I want you to understand the ironclad nature of your victory. The ironclad nature of your victory. Ooh. He is able to do it again and again and again and again. He hath delivered us. He doth deliver us. And he will deliver us. Oh, God. I don't know how you feel about your deliverer, but the Bible says we are blessed. There's blessings upon us. And again, that word Selah is a pause. It's a rest. It's an interlude. And so somebody tonight needs to hear the word rest. Sister Jennifer, give us 1 John chapter 5. Verse 4, please. We only have a few more verses to go.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
What I love about this, and we're going to end on that verse, is that the Lord is reminding us about where he has taken us from, where he has brought us from, and what he has brought us to. I want you to understand the depth and the profundity of this victory that you have. You were born into this. You didn't fall into victory. You were birthed into victory. The same way you were born in sin. Don't you ever allow yourself to say amen to somebody that says, if they have the Holy Ghost, they say, we are nothing but sinners saved by grace. Don't say amen to that, because that's a lie. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and I was born again, I stopped being a sinner. My status has changed beyond measure. My status has changed. Oh, God. I don't know how you see yourself, but I need you to see yourself the way God sees you. God sees you forgiven. He sees you as an heir. You have right standing with God. You are not a sinner. You are a child of the King. The Lord has called you. He has washed you. He has sanctified you. He has justified you. You are a child of the Most High God. And because of this, you need to know that you have victory. Whosoever overcometh the world, whosoever is born of God, whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It's not our religious affiliation. It's not our pedigree or our background. It's not where we grew up. The songwriter said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. My standing is in his presence. I'm the light of the world. I'm saved. I have been raised up together with him. That's my standing. And there is a difference between a person standing and their state. And you need to understand that from the moment you receive the Holy Spirit, your standing in God is sure. The question is, what state are you in? Are you walking in holiness, or are you walking in carnality? Are you walking with a puffed up mind, or are you walking in humility? Are you walking with animosity toward each other, argumentative and accusatory? Or are you walking in the spirit of reconciliation and forgiveness? Are you walking as a member of the body of Christ? Or are you walking as a harlot, where your body is given to whoever has the best offer? Watch as well as pray. Beware, beware. The devil is going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he does not always devour us by things that look repulsive. He does not always devour through things that are disgusting. There are times when he comes in like a wolf in sheep's clothing, disguised with the intent to destroy. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We're going to pray, and I'm going to believe God for some change in somebody right now on this line. I've shared a link in the chat, And what I shared with you is a link to one of the most profound yet fundamental books that you will ever read concerning your Christian walk. It is called Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. And I want you to know about this. I may even teach this next time. I know that we got revelations in front of us. I have to see what the Holy Spirit says about it, because I know the Lord had been dealing with me about revelations, but I just want to put this in front of you so that whether I teach from this or not, you have access to this incredible, incredible book, Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. I put that in the chat for you to be able to read it. But right now, I feel a move of God on this line for prayer. Somebody is in the need of deliverance. Somebody is in the need of healing. Somebody is in the need of being released from the grip of sin. We spoke about the grip of sin tonight, and I don't think that was by any accident, because there's a deliverer. The deliverer is here. The deliverer, the Lord God Almighty, is on this line with us right now. I feel a heaviness to pray. Let me go into this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bless your name this night. We are not afraid. We are not afraid. We are not afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. We thank you for the mercies that you extend to us this night, and for your intentional reminder that victory belongs to your children. Thank you that you are the God who hath delivered us from the death of sin. You deliver us from the pull of sin, and you will yet deliver us from the very presence of sin. We thank you that it will be worth it all, that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. Father, I speak over every person on this line tonight. Lord God, for every name that I see in the list, for every person that has read a verse of scripture, for every person that has made this night hallowed ground. Hallelujah. Lord, those that are listening to this recording tonight that have set the time aside to get into your presence, we take this not for granted. You spoke unto us that we might have peace, because in the world, there's going to be a lot of drama, but you told us to be of good cheer. You have overcome the world. And the last verses that we read tonight puts that right in context for us and puts it right in front of our face, because that victory, that overcoming, that grace, that anointing, that virtue is ours by the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you that your word has gone forth tonight. It will not return void. I thank you that in the mercies that you have extended to us, some of us have even had blood tests that show the results and the presence of COVID-19 antibodies. But Lord, you have protected us from its ravaging. We have protected us from its devastation. You have protected us from the sting of it. Oh God, we lift your name on high. Your mercy endures forever. Lord, it's not that we deserved it, but it was that your grace got in front of it. It wasn't because we were so smart, but because your grace got in front of it. It wasn't because, Lord God, we were quoting scripture, but grace got in front of it. Grace got in the way. When the enemy came in like a flood, grace got in the way. When sickness wanted to take us out, your grace got in the way. And even in the times when the difficulties of life seemed to come upon us to overwhelm us, your grace was sufficient. You're outpouring right now, somebody on this, Lord, everybody on this line. I pray, Lord God, that you will give them a revelation of your grace. Everybody on this line. I pray that you will give them a revelation of your abiding presence. Everybody on this line. I pray that you will give them a revelation of the power of the Holy Ghost that works within us. I thank you, Lord, that when we speak your word, we're not talking mere words. We're talking heaven power. We're not talking stuff that's written on the pages of a book, but we're bringing the power of heaven to the place of earth. And even as we, as your people and the sheep of your pasture, as we are yet on earth right now, we lift the sound to heaven. As we are yet witnesses on earth, we lift the praise to heaven. As we are yet those that are your witnesses, Lord, we are the true Jehovah's Witnesses. Hallelujah. We lift the sound to heaven. Oh God, hallelujah. Lord God, you know the way that we take. And when we are tried, we know that we're going to come forth as pure gold. We know that you know us, Lord God, on the inside out. You made us. You designed us fearfully and wonderfully. You designed us. You architected us. You crafted us with your brilliance. Hallelujah. We are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that you have before ordained that we should walk in them. Lord God, I thank you for the divine position where we can sit, where we can stand, where we can walk. Hallelujah. 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 We can sit, we can stand, and we can walk. I thank you for these postures of the believer, these positions of the redeemed, that we are not fearful. We are not tripping. Hallelujah. We're not tripping, but we're standing. We're sitting in your presence. We are comforted by your abiding presence, and we are walking, not in fear, not in the flesh, not under bondage, but we're walking in freedom and in liberty. And so I speak this over your people tonight. I speak, sit, stand, walk. I speak this over us, even when we have to run. We're not running out of fear, but we're running a race. And we know that this race is not given to the swift, the battle not given to the strong, but to them that endureth unto the end. And so tonight, to this wonderful group that have assembled themselves to hear your word, I speak this word over their lives and say, live, live, live. It is God's will for us to live. It is God's will for you to live. It is God's will for you to live. Hallelujah. Lift up your head and live. Get your praise together and live. Get on your knees and live. Come to the Lord for strength and grace and live. You can come boldly to the throne of grace so we can live. We thank you tonight, Lord, that you speak live. Hallelujah. We're not going through the motions. We're not acting like this is a joke, but Lord, we're taking it for real and we're not taking it for granted. And tonight we speak this word over every person on this line to live. To live healing, let healing flow for life. Let peace flow for life. Let grace flow for life. Let the Holy Spirit flow. Somebody that might need salvation tonight, Lord, I'm praying that they will repent, that they will confess and forsake their sins. I'm praying, Lord, that they will be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission, for the washing away of those sins and the acknowledgement and the confession of their allegiance unto you. I pray right now, Lord God, that they will even go on to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, empowered with what we have shared this night, so that they will understand this is not just a concept. This is not just some idea or an ideal, but this is the call and the anointing and the posture of the Church of the Living God. We thank you tonight, Lord. And I breathe this word over these, your precious people. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The recording will come to a close, and we certainly want to invite you to come back and be with us next week while we continue on this wonderful journey with the Lord. If the Lord tarries, next week, Tuesday, December 22nd, we'll see you here at 7 o'clock in Jesus' name. God bless you and have a good night.